94 able to be here and do this and still be fit enough to sort of go out in the car for a ride.
And with that, Malcolm heads down the road, proud of his hard work and once more driving around in a piece of his childhood.
Bye.
The headlines again. Rishi Sunak has been holding talks in Riyadh with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Earlier, the Prime Minister told his Israeli counterpart, Benjamin Netanyahu, that Britain would stand with Israel in its war against Hamas, describing the group as pure evil. Media in Egypt say the Rafah crossing into Gaza will be reopened tomorrow to allow 20 lorries to deliver desperately needed humanitarian aid for more than 2 million Palestinians who are running out of food, water and medicines. Storm Babette is expected to cause severe flooding in parts of eastern Scotland. Around 400 homes in Angus are to be evacuated. A red weather alert, meaning a risk to life, is in force until noon tomorrow. BBC News.
And the news this evening was read by Chris Aldridge. Just a reminder, David Aronovich is here at 8 o'clock tonight with an edition of The Briefing Room concentrating on the conflict in the Middle East. David's guests will be looking at what a resolution could look like and who's actually going to try and negotiate one. That's just after the news at 8. Kevin Eldon and the cast take a stroll through the Eldon archive in our comedy in a moment. We're meeting his ancestors, discovering the true value of £35 billion and wallowing in mud. Kevin Eldon, we'll see you now, is after something for the willow on leather addicts among you.
It takes just one day to overcome your opponents.
One day to fill your nation with pride.
One day to become a hero.
Takes an incredible one-handed catch.
The Cricket World Cup 2023.
Hear live commentary on every game across the BBC.
I don't think I've ever seen a game of cricket like it in my life.
Plus, get the Test Match Special podcast every day throughout the tournament.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Well, now on Radio 4.
Kevin Eldon will see you now.
Kevin Eldon will see you now.
Kevin Eldon will see you now.
Aloha and welcome. And I am talking to you from the vast tracts of land surrounding Eldon Towers, my sumptuous Cotswolds country mansion, rich, incidentally, in a wide and diverse selection of birds. There's one. You know, the Eldon family have lived at Eldon Towers for centuries. And another. Obviously, it costs a small fortune to keep such a massive gaff up and running, but luckily, the millions of pounds I've earned working for Radio 4 has allowed me to live like a pig in... shit. So, thanks, licence payers. Now, before we begin the lukewarm political satire using puns, I thought we'd have a little wander around, see some of the sights. Oh, and hello. Here comes Hamish, my estate manager. Seems to have someone in a headlock.
Hey, Kevin Eldon.
All right, Hamish. Is that another poacher you've caught?
I just nabbed him. I've been lying in wait for him at the bottom of a pit for 2 days now.
I thought your kilt looked a bit manky.
What did you say?
Nothing. Wait a minute, I recognise him. That's Robbie Williams from the next estate along, isn't it?
Right, that's him, all right.
I thought he looked a bit manky.
What did you say?
Nothing. Oi, Williams, that's the third time you've been caught poaching on my land.
So? I've got to, haven't I? I can't afford food. I've spent all my money.
You spent all your money? What on?
Vintage sewing machines, of course.
Vintage sewing machines?
Yeah, can't get enough of them, me. I've got nearly 3 million vintage sewing machines.
No one's got 3 million vintage sewing machines.
I have. I love vintage sewing machines. I've got every make going. I've got a Finkel and Lyon, a Grover and Baker, a Nussey and Pilling,
you're
a
right.
Judkins, a Beckwith,
yeah.
A Muller, a Nash,
okay, yeah.
A Rockford, a Starley and Salisbury,
okay.
A Moldecott, a Union, yep. A Wilcox and Gibbs,
yeah, right.
And I've got all types too, hand crank, tabletop, treadle, pedestal,
yeah, thank
stand.
You.
You're not listening to me.
No, I'm not listening to you. Let me get this right, Williams. You've taken to poaching on my land because you've spent over, what, £100 million on vintage sewing machines?
Yeah, and? What are you going to do about
it? Well, I'm busy doing my radio show right now, so I think I'll let Hamish deal with you. Hamish?
Aye, yeah, what shall I do with him? Bruff him up, set the dogs on him, throw him down the well?
Yes.
Great, great. Come on, you. Off we go.
No, what about the machine?
Now, you may recall that in the show last week, my wife, Alessandra's two adopted sons, Jacob and Reese, voted to leave their mother and go and live in a cattle trough at the top of the upper field. Let's go and have a look and see how they're doing. It's just up here. There they are. Hello, boys. Morning.
Who goes there?
You warned. We are armed.
With a Nerf gun, I see.
Yes, with a Nerf gun.
Yep, well, put down your weapon. It's me. How are you doing?
Oh, good day to you, Mr. Eldon. We're very well, thank you.
Very well indeed.
Very, very well.
Good, good, good. You don't look too comfortable crammed into that rusty old cattle trough there.
It's really very congenial.
Most congenial.
Right, and are you all right for food? Because I've bought some stuff that your mum packed for you.
Oh, we are free from the yoke of our so-called mother.
We have cut ourselves loose from the tyranny of her love and kindness.
Yeah, but I've got some lovely grub here. Look, I've got some quiche, sushi, and look, your favourite, pâté de foie gras twizzles.
Ooh. You don't seem to understand. We are now proudly independent. No longer enthralled to her interfering condescension.
Well, what did you have for breakfast?
We feasted upon a particularly piquant corbeau mort tatar.
Corbeau? What, raw dead crow?
Yes, gathered and consumed without the imposition of ex-mother's endless rules and regulations.
Yes, can you imagine how it would have been in the ancien regime? How long has that bird been dead? Shouldn't you pluck it before eating it? Oh, there are maggots coming out of its eye sockets.
Ridiculous.
Absurd.
Oh. All right, Reese. You look a bit beaky.
I am in rude health. Thank you for inquiring.
Oh. Are you sure? Do you need some medicines?
Very kind offer, but... but we have all the medical supplies we need. We have dock leaves.
Right, OK, well, I'll leave you to it then. As long as you're all right, I'm a bit worried.
Yes, we are...
thriving
comprehensively.
Just bear in mind me and your mother are worried about you. You know, should you ever decide you want to come back...
Never.
OK, well, see you soon.
Goodbye.
Oh, I don't know. Families, eh? Which brings me to the subject of this week's show. We were going to do lukewarm political satire using puns, but then David, the producer, came to the conclusion it'd be worth a little look around the Eldon family archive, because most of my ancestors are... how did you describe them, David?
Freaks and idiots.
Yeah, David, the producer there, patching in from the control room in the attic. I suppose, to be fair, my family are certainly a colourful bunch and worth a little investigation. So while I make my way back to the house, why don't you listen to a sketch? It was a total shakedown, sir.
Did we lose anyone?
Yes, sir. Fisher.
Fisher, damn it. Anyone else?
White.
Second Lieutenant White? I don't believe it.
Bailey, Fitzroy, Tyne, Fulf, Dogger.
Oh, my God.
Landy, Fastnet, Irish Sea.
Charlie Irish? What about the Utsiras?
Both of them.
My God.
Rockall, Malin, Biscay, Faroe, Faroe, Southeast Iceland.
Not Lance Corporal Rockall, Malin, Biscay, Faroe, Faroe, Southeast Iceland.
Welcome back. And here we are back at the house. Now, which way is the archive room? Let's see. Oh, here comes my wife, Alessandra. And, oh, who's this tall, muscly, long-haired, almost supernaturally handsome man she's with?
Kevin, this is Gustav. He's a fellow artist I met in Paris many years ago.
Oh,
enchanté, Kevin. You are but a lucky man. It is incredible to think that the simple young woman I knew then has become such a mature, fully rounded powerhouse of artistic brilliance.
Gustav, please, I have so much to thank you for. You encouraged me, nurtured me, allowed me to find my true artistic vocation.
That's it. That's a deep look into each other's eyes there. Hello? Hello? Hmm?
Oh, sorry, my darling. Now, did you take the food package to the boys?
Yes, but...
it won't be long until they are knocking on the back door, begging to be let back in.
Well, I'm not so
and
sure.
And now, but... Gustav and I must hurry to my workshop. We are working on a special project, aren't we, Goosey?
Goosey?
We are, my chérie. Very special.
Oh,
I am so looking forward to introducing the thrust of my quivering conception into the bottomless well of your creative juices.
If I were drinking a cup of tea right now, I'd definitely be spitting out a mouthful at high speed.
Ciao, Kevin. And please, see to it that Gustav and I are not disturbed while we are doing what we are doing.
Yeah. Yes, ta-ta. Bye. Well, he was nice. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, the Eldon Family Archive Library, just along here, I think. Yeah, you'll love Helen Glass, my curator. Well, what's not to love about a grumpy old lady with an all-consuming obsession with the dead? Here we are. Just let myself in. Here we go.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Kevin.
Kevin who?
Kevin, a heat wave. A tropical heat wave.
What?
Nothing. It's Kevin. Kevin Eldon. Kevin Eldon.
Oh, yes. Born 2nd of October 1959 in Gillingham, Kent. Parents Brian, mother Irene.
Yes,
in 1963, the family relocated to Barrow-in-Furness.
Yeah, that's me. Where are you? So big, this place.
Aisle 7.
Right, OK. I'm coming. Did my producer, David, get in touch with you about doing a bit of my radio programme from here?
David who?
David Tyler.
Ah, yes, born 24th of June, 1961.
Yeah, that's the one, yes.
He did, yes.
Here you are. Hey, be careful, Helen. It's a very high ladder you're up there.
What? Oh, wait a minute. I'll come down. There.
Wow, that's a pretty impressive way of getting down a ladder for a mature lady, wrapping your arms and legs either side of it and sliding down.
Saves time.
Yeah, but blowing on a swanny whistle while you're doing it.
Yes. Now, there's Tyler chap. He said something about a tour of the archive.
Yes, I was hoping you could introduce the listeners to some of the crazy characters that make up the ranks of cranks that are my freaky forefathers.
Stop talking like that.
Sorry.
Very well, let's get on with it. Are we recording?
What? I'm sure we are, yes.
You don't sound entirely certain.
We're recording, I think.
You think?
Well, certainly hope so.
Are we recording?
Hang on. David, are we recording?
Yeah.
Yes, we're recording. We're definitely recording, yes. We're on tape. Well, it's not tape these days, is it? It's all gone digital. Digital. It's quite hard to say, isn't it? Digital. Yes, we are recording, yes.
Thank you. It was a simple enough question, wasn't it?
Yes. So why don't we start with a look at the record of the Eldon that goes the furthest back in history?
Very well. Follow me. Right. Aisle 1, section 1. Quite tricky to source, actually. Keep up.
Yep.
But I eventually found a record of one Hubert Eldon in the parish records of Rochester, Kent, dating back to the early 12th century.
Ooh. Yes. Here we are. Now, let me see.
Yes. Born approximately 1120, indentured labourer at the Rochester Mud Market.
The Mud Market?
Yes. In medieval times, mud was all the rage. Ooh. It was used as a building material, medicine, soap, in various home leisure pursuits, hence pile the mud up, touch the mud, look at the mud, mudopoly. It was used as makeup, a weapon, clothes, currency, food, a lube.
Hang on. Food?
Oh, yes. Lots of minerals in mud, and, of course, very filling. Mm. Hubert was at the mud market from the age of 3 until he died. Contemporaneous records show that labourers at mud markets worked 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, for no money at all. They were, as a matter of course, flogged, bullied and abused. And if they took too long a toilet break, they were beheaded.
Sort of like working for Amazon, then.
He lived with his 12 children and 30 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren.
Wow. How old was he when he died?
23.
What did he die of?
Mud poisoning. It was very common back then, especially if you worked in a mud market and all you ever ate was mud.
God, that's quite depressing, isn't it? Can't have been much of a life. Every moment must have been an arduous, relentlessly agonising living hell. We can only imagine.
Imagine. Imagine. Imagine.
Why have you put your head in that waste paper bin?
I'm just... OK, well, we'll just do this.
Wife, I be home.
Oh, hello, Hubert. Good day at the mud market.
I did say you was looking at a mud surf grade 5.
You've been promoted, Hubie.
I has. No more mixing mud with me bare hands. I gets to use a stick.
A stick? What's one of them, then?
Oh, it's too complicated for your pretty, though admittedly very scabby little head, my dear. How's your day been?
Ah, lovely. I found some scum to eat.
Ooh.
And all the children are still alive.
God's toes, we's on a roll. We was lucky to be born in this day and age, wife.
Oh, say, imagine being born in the 9th century.
Ooh.
They didn't have all this modern stuff we got, like, what was it again, Hubert?
A stick.
Yeah, a stick. Let's laugh for the sheer joy of a completely carefree life.
All right, then.
Ooh, I can almost hear the sobs of despair echoing down the ages. Here, we don't want this look into the past to be too gloomy, Helen. Have you got a happier story for us?
Do you want historical facts or fairy stories?
Historical facts.
Can't hear you.
Historical facts.
Better. So, which historical facts would you like to hear now?
Well, I don't really...
Perhaps your listeners would like to learn how the Eldon family first came into its fortune, which paid for this house and its lands.
Oh, yes, that might
be quite interesting. Wilfred Eldon, born December the 10th, 1632, in Long Claystead, Suffolk, was only son to Thomas and Eleanor Eldon. Thomas Eldon was an inventor. He invented the first internal combustion engine.
Wow!
Which he fashioned out of oak, wax, and a system of interlocking rabbit's bladders connected together with hen's beaks.
Wow.
As a piece of mechanical construction, it was a comprehensive failure on every level.
Wow.
Thomas was something of a joke in the local community.
Right, okay.
A byword for overwhelming incompetence.
Okay,
there goeth Tommy Eldon, the local burghers would cry as he passed. What a scobber-lotching saddle goose.
Moving on.
Make way for Master Eldon, they'd shout, the whiffle-waffling fusty-doodle.
Yes, thank you. Oh, yeah, that's a bit strong, isn't
All
it?
All of which made a deep impression on young Wilfred, who vowed to avenge his father by becoming the greatest mind of the age.
Ooh, and did he?
You don't be such a nash-labbing lubberwort. He did, however, go on to invent the breeches de ruckler.
The breeches whatchamumble?
The breeches de ruckler. It was the forerunner of the trouser press.
Right, which I suppose was made out of moss and caused huge hilarity to all and sundry.
On the contrary, a year after the prototype had been built, he had received orders from across all Europe and had amassed a fortune £20 and 7 shillings.
£20 and 7 shillings?
Which at today's prices is over £35
billion. £35
billion?
Well, how did he come up with the idea?
I have here an extract from his autobiography, Pressing Business. Ooh. I quote, "Having reached the age of 30, I felt myself to be at a very low ebb indeed. All my inventive endeavours
had come to naught. And the pedants and naysayers had howled down my horseless carriage on account of its unfortunate inability, very much like my perpetual motion machine, to move. But Providence was to lend a helping hand, for one eve, as I made my way home to my lonely garret, I espied an old friend driving a cart.
Make way here.
John? John Martin, is that you?
Wilfred? Wilfred Eldon?
The same. I've seen naught of you since the last Catholic persecution. How doth your family?
Oh, all executed and imprisoned. And yours?
Never better. So you are cart driving now, I see.
I could not in good faith spend the rest of my days in the office. Knowest thou what I'm saying? I've long yearned to travel, see the world. I went to Ballhampton and back yesterday.
Well, that's nigh on 7 miles.
Upper Wixted tomorrow.
My uncle says the houses there are made of plum duff. Oh, so what deliver you this day?
I'm bound for the charnel house. Back here upon my cart lies some unfortunate quarry worker, crushed to death by a huge slab of granite. Here, you fancy a peek?
Right, come on then.
Behold! Oh my! Is it not?
Squashed like a roach.
Flat as a skillet cake.
His poor wife could have him framed. As we juggled and merry-chirped, I do recall remarking how very smooth were the breeches of the unfortunately compressed fellow. In that second, the thought struck me. What if I could conceive an invention that would resolve forever that heinous scourge of the age, Rumpelbreech? But the burdensome question remained,
how?
And how? How did he do it?
Huge slabs of granite.
What?
He bought some huge slabs of granite, had the words "The Eldon Breeches de Ruckler" carved on them, and sold them for a farthing each.
Oh, a farthing.
Which at today's prices is over £35 billion.
£35 billion? Hang on, how does that work?
Wilfred Eldon became fabulously wealthy, and with the proceeds, had this place built.
Well, I never knew that. It just goes to show... Oh, sorry, excuse me. Oh, it's my wife. Hello, Alessandra? Hello? Hello?
Who is it?
Oh, it's me.
Who?
Kevin, your husband.
What do you want?
You called me.
Oh, I am sorry, my darling. I must have accidentally rolled onto my phone.
Oh, rolled?
Excuse me, darling. Gustav and I are right in the middle of something. See you in a little while. Oh, and Kevin?
Yeah?
Don't come into my workshop, whatever you do.
Oh, don't...
For the next week.
The next week?
Things are going to take longer than I thought.
Right. Why shouldn't I...
Ciao, come baby.
Bye. Righto.
I wouldn't trust him.
Who?
That French man. My first husband was French. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All of my five husbands since then have been German, and they have all been entirely trustworthy, if a little accident-prone. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting.
Do you want me to carry on?
About your husbands?
About your family tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. How about my great-great-grandfather, Sir Percival Eldon?
Percival Frederick Agamemnon Clifford Richard Stephen with a V, Stephen with a PH Eldon, born August the 11th, 1851?
No, the other one.
Oh, the other one. Yes. Now, let me think. Yes, aisle four, I believe.
Okay, and while you're finding that...
Aisle four!
Yeah, I'll just nip... No, not nip, pop. Pop. I'll just pop down to the workshop and see if Alessandra and Gustav need anything. Yeah, back in a mo, Helen. Now, let's see. There's quite a way to the workshop. No corridor buggies in sight. I better use one of the wall-hung super segways. Oh, here we are. Just get it down. And off we go. You know, a needy person might find the idea of their partner spending a week alone locked in a room with a charismatic quasi-demigod totally intolerable, but me, I'm totally cool with it. It's, here we are. That is a life lesson right there. You should never, ever underestimate the value of a sense of self-esteem.
Hello?
Please don't take my wife away from me.
Kenneth?
It's Kevin.
Of course, sir. What did you say just then?
Nothing. Just seeing if you need any bananas or donuts.
No. We have everything we need.
Right. Is Alessandra there? My wife?
She is very much here.
Oh, great.
Who is it,
Gosie? It is Kenneth.
It's Kevin.
Don't let him in.
She doesn't want you to come in.
I don't want to come in.
It is good.
Oui. C'est bon.
Ah, vous parlez français? Je ne savais pas, c'est tout extraordinaire pour un anglais à parler le français. Quand nous aurons un peu de temps, nous devrions parler de l'art, la politique, de la révolution, de la vie. D'accord?
Yeah.
And now, if you'll excuse me, we are very, how you say, busy.
Well, they seem to have everything they need. Right, Okay, you're listening to Kevin Eldon in his non-award-winning show, Kevin Eldon Will See You Now on Radio 4. And while I make my way back to the archive library to continue this week's comic capers, here's something that might interest you.
Have you done something that was absolutely your fault and it wasn't your fault? Then you could claim big, big money. Whatever you've done, if it was something you did purposely and vindictively in full control of your actions, but it wasn't your fault, we want to hear from you.
I deliberately swerved my car in order to hit a cat I don't like.
I defaulted a charitable foundation for orphans and then spent the dosh on crisps.
I punched the man doing the voiceover for this advert.
Ow!
Just now.
If you did anything that was absolutely your fault, but it wasn't your fault, we can get you off. Ow! Ow!
I even hit the man again, twice, and somehow that wasn't my fault either.
Our top team of hypnotists, career criminals and trained liars are on call 24 hours a day. And remember, if we can't get you compensation and you end up out of pocket or in prison, that was absolutely 100% not our fault.
Claim is claims, because where there's deliberate and vindictive action, there's a deliberate and clindictive claction.
Ow!
Hi! Okay, all good. Final push. And I am back in the Eldon Family Archive Library with archivist Helen Glass.
I expect that Frenchman told you they were busy, did he?
Well, not so much busy as busy. But, you know, it's fine. So, what have you got for the listeners then, Helen?
Well, your great-great-grandfather certainly packed a lot into his life.
2 minutes left.
Is that producer chap again?
Yes, that's David the producer.
Oh, David Tyler, born June the 24th, 1961.
Yeah, that's the one. 2 minutes, David. But we've still got loads of my wacky ancestors to find out about. Wait a minute. Thinking on the hoof. David, what's planned for next week's show?
Let me look. Lukewarm political satire using mostly puns.
Yeah, of course. Listen, David, I actually think Radio 4 comedy isn't quite ready yet for lukewarm political satire using puns. I mean, come on! Mocking aspects of contemporary constitutional and legislative issues by means of homonyms? It's too out there. How about we carry on going through the archive next week? You know, make this show not just one show in one part, but one that's in two parts. And there's an actual term for it, isn't there?
Two-parter.
No, that's not it. Oh, what is it? Oh, I can't think. Anyway, the important thing is, I think we could run with this, David. Now, you're the producer. It's always your vision and your passion for making great radio comedy that inspires and guides me. So, what do you think?
I'm not bothered.
Great! Well, we've probably just about got time in this first part of this dual segmenter. Oh, that's it, isn't it? Dual segmenter. I knew it had come to me. Yeah, anyway, we've just got time for a quick delve into the life of one of my shorter-lived ancestors. Helen, what have we got?
Let me see. How about Roger Eldon? Roger Marshall Eldon, psychedelic rock musician, born March the 20th, 1943. Your second cousin twice removed.
Psychedelic rock musicians? Well, I knew nothing about him. Great. OK, go.
Roger Marshall Eldon, born in this house, expelled from every boarding school he ever attended for, variously, having his hair parted on the wrong side, failure to knock in his cricket bat, having an unclipped moustache, having an unclipped accent, impersonating a horse incompetently and sitting down on a Tuesday.
Sounds like he was quite the rebel.
At 15, he was expelled for the last time and received a short custodial youth sentence for possession of a washboard likely to be used in the preparation of skiffle. Roger went on to form several beat bands with little success until his first and last LSD trip in January of 1967, during which he formed psychedelic rock band Admiral Potassium and the Steam-Driven Love Pigs.
Wow.
And wrote and recorded just one track, the title of which was Magic Vortex Mind Tune in the Mirror of My Shining Dreams. On finishing the recording, still under the influence of the drug and suffering from the hallucination that he was a cloud of smoke, he scaled one of the chimneys of Battersea Power Station and hurled himself 150 feet down into the raging inferno below.
And did he die?
He did, yes.
Oh, man, that's so sad. Poor acid-murdered second cousin twice removed Roger. Hey, I don't suppose you've got a copy of the track, have you?
Yes, I believe I have here the original acetate.
Fantastic! OK, well, could you stick it on the turntable, please, Helen? Let's have a listen. Well, that's it for this week, listeners. Please do tune in next week for further fantastically funny familial foraging. Sorry. Also, more exploring around the estate here at Eldon Towers. There'll be more about my wife's adopted sons, Jacob and Reese, and their cat, Mog. And I'm sure we'll all be fairly curious to find out what Alessandra and Gustav...
I don't trust him.
...have been up to all week in that locked room alone. So, Helen, if you please. Thank you. Until next week, I leave you with probably the first ever broadcast of what is almost assuredly a lost pop classic. So here to get your dendrons dancing, it's Admiral Potassium and the Steam-Driven Love Pigs. And may your dreams be shining.
I heard a sweet refrain down Raspberry Lane, which leads to Rainbow Town, and I kept it in my mind. Now I'm inclined to write it all across the stars. You listen to my song, it won't be long before your head is free. Time to rise, a nice surprise, as the moon has dropped in for a cup of tea. Tea for you and me.
Kevin Eldon Will See You Now was written by Kevin Eldon with additional material by Jason Hazley and Joel Morris. The programme featured Morwenna Banks, Kate Duchenne, Justin Edwards, Miles Jarp, Paul Putner, David Reed, Catherine Shepherd and Dan Skinner. The producer was David Tyler and it was a positive production for BBC Radio 4. And hey, it's back to the psychedelic sounds now of Admiral Potassium and the Steam-Driven Love Pigs.
All the rain inside my brain has turned to sun. Now light is everywhere. You are beautiful. I love your soul, your mind, but most of all your hair. Most of all your hair. All your lovely hair.
It's a lovely sunny day today, said the wise old squirrel. The kind of day when absolutely anything could happen, and probably will. And with that, he jumped into the multicolored world.
Splash. Are you feeling any better, Jacob?
Much better, yes, Reese.
Morg?
Meow.
Right. I say, Jacob, old chap, I'm rather chilly. Could you spare me a little of your straw?
No.
And that marvellous music was written by Martin Bird. Now, a familiar voice.
Still to come in the current series of Desert Island Discs, the singer and actor Leah Salonga.
What I try to do is just to make sure that that moment's emotional truth is played.
The designer Patrick Grant.
There was no fast fashion. You know, you either had high fashion or you had ordinary clothes. And so I'd spend all of my weekends trawling through the charity shops.
And the Women's Health Ambassador for England, Professor Dame Leslie Regan.
I often turn around and say, well, let's just do it and see. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to do that in life.
Desert Island Discs, with me, Lauren Laverne, continues on Radio 4, Sunday mornings at 11:15. And catch many more of our castaways on BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. State television in Egypt says that the Rafah border crossing with Gaza will open tomorrow as international pressure grows to allow a convoy of 20 lorries carrying aid to enter the territory. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has used a visit to Cairo to call for rapid, unimpeded humanitarian access to Gaza. Aid agencies say the initial deal on deliveries for Gaza doesn't include fuel, which is needed for the water station. But Mark Regev, a senior advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister, says they can't allow fuel in.
Of course, the international community wants to support the innocent civilian population of Gaza, and Israel will facilitate that. But we can't see Hamas, like other authoritarian regimes are done across the planet, when in similar cases, siphon off and use what is supposed to reach the people of Gaza and siphon it off for its war machine.
Rishi Sunak has used a visit to Jerusalem to promise that the UK would stand by Israel in what he called its darkest hour. There's been another day of airstrikes on Gaza. The health authorities there say more than 3,400 people have died.